All right, guys. Hey, I'm excited to be standing before y'all. It has certainly been a little bit of a hectic day. We're going to work some things out. We're excited about September 9th. Just kind of piggybacking off of what Bobby said, because there's going to be a bunch. Obviously, if you look around the room, you realize that we are probably half people who are faithful, which is y'all, and then half people who are at the beach right now. So that's kind of where our church is at, if we're just honest. So anyway, the beach people and all the people that are, you know, just joking around, but all the people that are kind of out of town, we're going to have this on a recording for them tomorrow. So I just want to make sure that we hear what Bobby kind of said about the announcement for Saturday. We really started thinking through going out in the community and just doing a blitz this Saturday. I think there'll probably come a time when we do that. I think when we do kind of a full launch of our church in January, we'll probably do some mission teams come in and really blitz and kind of do that kind of thing. But we kind of thought about the character of this summer and what we've really been pushing everyone to this summer. And it has been more about you cultivating the relationships that you have and people that are around you. And we don't want to do anything that distracts from you getting your chance to really invite those particular people. Now, obviously, we've given you 25 inviter cards, so we're not handing all those out on Saturday morning for 3 hours. We're going to be handing those out in coffee shops and in restaurants, but most importantly, with the relationships that you have cultivated all week. So instead of the Saturday morning, we're going to make that Saturday morning 3 hours kind of a 7-day process, kind of a countdown to launch all the way up to September 9th, all right? So excited about that, really looking forward to what God is going to do. Tonight, obviously, kind of an oddball night, even in the teaching time. We're not going to really kind of turn specifically to a text tonight. Really what I wanted to do tonight was just kind of talk about where we have been, talk about how we have gotten to this place, then talk a little bit about kind of what we have seen God do as we have been on this journey. And then talk just a few minutes about what we believe God for over the next few months and over the course of this fall, leading all the way up until the year's end in 2013. So where we've been, what we've seen God do, and what we are believing God for, that's what I kind of just want to talk to you guys about. I'd love to kind of tell y'all a story of how we got to this place. Some of you have heard this story so many times already that you could probably tell it. That's okay. I want you to be able to tell it. I want when people ask you how you came to move to Greensboro, you start from the beginning. You start with the Summit Church. You start with whatever, however you got here. So I would love to tell you just kind of our story and a lot of how we ended up here. Anna and I, my wife is in the back with kind of some of the kids hanging out back there. We experienced a pretty specific call to ministry, I think, early on in our lives. I know I never had kind of a bird land on my shoulder or anything like that. I never had like a beaming ray of sunshine come from heaven or anything. But it just kind of seemed like the markers in my life were kind of leading me to ministry. And that became evident throughout high school and college and all of that. And as we got married, I remember one specific time where Anna and I, we were kind of young, married. We kind of took a retreat, we were up on this mountain, and we just kind of prayed to God. And it was a very simple prayer. It was kind of that idea of saying, here is a blank check with our lives. You can write in it whatever you want to. We said, God, we will do anything. We will go anywhere. And I can honestly say with integrity, I think that he has filled that check 7 years ago, but the word would have been Greensboro on it. I think that's what it would have been. I think everything in my life has been leveraged to this moment. And so as we started to think through all the things that God was doing in our lives, you know, we moved from South Carolina, went to seminary, ended up at a church called the Summit Church. We kind of moved through the staff there, and the elders just kind of said, man, you're a family that we want to put some people around and build some people around. We think you ought to plant a church. And so we were kind of hesitant to it at first. I'm a guy who got backed into church planting a little bit. I knew I wanted to be a pastor. I didn't know what church planting would look like. And so we kind of started submitting to it and started to realize what we could do and started to realize some of the things we could leverage from our church to go. And so we started thinking about where we would go. The church wanted us to go to like Boston or Seattle or New York, and I thought, I'll die if I go there. I can't live there. I don't know what I would do. I don't know how I would make it. That's kind of a joke. I hope I would go if God really called me to a place like that. But because I didn't have any kind of clear, I said, well, look, what is lining up with the Summit vision that might line up a little bit better with us and some of the people that were around? And we landed on North Carolina. And so as we landed on North Carolina, we started to take trips. We started to go to Fayetteville, to Winston-Salem, to Asheville. I wanted to plant in Asheville. I just wanted to be in the mountains every day. That would have been awesome. But as it became evident, even on our trip to Asheville, when we started looking around, that we thought Greensboro was the spot for a ton of reasons. There was a bunch of reasons why we wanted to be in Greensboro. We thought it was more centralized in the state. We thought it would be a great place to leverage sending the gospel from and other church plants that would come down the road. We had some guys that were connected to Southeastern Seminary. Greensboro's only an hour and a half away. Being an hour from our sending church, we have the opportunity to be an open book for other church planters that are coming behind us to learn how to plant churches. We saw the brokenness that was here in Greensboro statistically, violence that is here, sex trafficking that is here, racism that is here. We think the gospel speaks to those things. We looked at Greensboro and we saw a place that many of us had kind of grown up in, even though it wasn't Greensboro, but it was a place where kind of religion reigns other than the gospel sometimes, and people do things to be accepted by God rather than realizing they have been accepted and therefore they go and do. And as we started to see all this, we just kind of landed on Greensboro. So I went immediately to the two guys that are probably the most prominent around. You see Bobby a lot. You see Jeremy a lot. And I went to these guys with their families, and I just said, hey, if you guys will go, I'll go. We'll go as a team, or we won't go at all. But if y'all will go, I'll go. And they said, we'll go. Jeremy was a little bit quicker to say he would go than Bobby, just for the record. But a few things started to line up. We started to feel ready. We started to feel equipped. We went to our church as a sending church and said, we want to go to Greensboro and plant a church. It was one of the quickest conversations I've ever had with our lead pastor from the Summit Church in Raleigh-Durham and our elder team. I mean, they just kind of basically said, we've seen this in you for a long time. We love the fact that it's going to be close. We love the fact that it's right up the road. Why don't you guys recruit a team as big as you can, take as many people as you can, and go plant a church in Greensboro. They were awesome. Our pastor was awesome in that whole process. It was really a testimony to us. I hope that when it comes time for us to plant churches, we're going to be as generous as they were with the people that they let come on this trip with us. So we went there, we kind of got the okay from them, and we're like, where do we start? Well, we started with a team. We started to build our team. We started to go within the networks that we have at the Summit Church and outside of the Summit, and we just started to talk to people about what it might look like for them to come on this adventure with us. And many of you in the room, even now, or the ones that are going to hear this podcast tomorrow, many of you are the ones that we talked to first. You had conversations with us even in the first months of this entire thing. And slowly, this team started to build. I remember a certain ones of you were kind of considering it, and I would get a call or a text message late at night, like at 11 o'clock at night from Bobby or somebody saying like, hey man, I had a conversation and it went favorably. You guys don't even know this, but when that would happen, there was an Excel sheet that a number went up for you on. Like, they're a little more interested than they were before. They're now a 5. They were a 3. They're 5% interested or whatever. I mean, we kind of were tracking this thing, trying to see where people were, trying to pray through that with everyone. And suddenly a team started to build, and it was just unbelievable. God was moving this thing. Inertia was building. Movement was starting to happen. And so as we started to look at it, we thought, okay, we're starting to build a team. We've got to fundraise. We've got to do all of this kind of stuff. September 1st of 2011 was slated to be the time when I was going to transition off of doing our young adult ministry at the Summit and on to doing church planting. And on September the 1st, I transitioned from the young adult ministry to being a campus pastor at Briar Creek. And so it just didn't happen. And so what ended up happening was that everybody else on this church planting team ended up getting way more on their plate than they needed. I was the one that was building the church to end up getting paid and all of that, but everybody else seemingly was doing the work. God taught me so much during that time about how a team plants a church and about how it is a group of people that plants a church. It is not a charismatic personality, but it will be a group of people who come together, who catch a vision. And I think that's what we have seen here. Things started to kind of roll. We started to formally meet in September in Tammy and Carter's apartment, living room, 15 or 16 people meeting together, and we have seen God kind of bless. We started the fundraising trail. We went from $0 to funded, and when I say zero, I mean $0 to funded. I mean, when we first started hitting the campaign trail, we would be driving all over creation. I put 20,000 miles on this little car I had in 10 months. And we didn't have any money. Me and Bobby would be splitting gas everywhere we would go, and we'd be buying signage to go to a conference or whatever, and we'd have to buy. I mean, we didn't have anything. Now, I remember seeing that we had one check. The first check we came in had $400, and it was the biggest deal in the world. But I remember thinking, our budget is $130,000 for the first year. How do you go from $400 to $130? God, we need you. Just desperately. And God was faithful, and he has continued to bless. And we moved here in May. And over the last 2 or 3 months, many of you have been on this journey with us in Greensboro. And that kind of brings us up to where we are right now. That's kind of the story. I could give you a 10-hour long version of that story, but that's a story, all right? What have we seen now? Well, I think what we have seen God do is very clear. Because I think what we have seen God do is move based on his grace rather than any merit of our own. And that's just the truth. No merit of our own, totally God's grace, but we think about the ways that he has moved for us. I think about sitting in meeting after meeting when we were pitching this vision to churches all across the Southeast, and how I would walk into one of these meetings and I would be so nervous, and within 3 seconds I would realize God has already convinced them to help us and I haven't even said anything. It's basically, I'm just trying to get out of the way and get out of this room as fast as I can because God has already convinced them to help us. These are the types of things that we saw over and over and over. When we got a call from the Ridge Church, and you know, back in April, and a guy says, hey, Philip says, hey, I just want to sit down and eat lunch with you. I think his exact words were, we may have some chairs that we could help you guys with. We may have some sound equipment we could help y'all with. And we, you know, why don't you sit down with me? Have no clue that we would see people come in that are, I mean, the committed ones, the ones that were here at 3 o'clock today, the type of finances that we would see come in, have no clue, no merit of our own at all. But we see God doing these things over and over and over. The amount of times that I and Bobby made major mistakes, and we see God just put grace right over them and move us on. We have certainly seen God move on our behalf, and it's certainly him who is moving. What have we seen in the last 18 months? Well, to start with, we saw a group of 6 people turn into a group of 35 people that moved their lives. For some of us who come out of the Summit culture in Raleigh-Durham, we don't realize how absolutely bonkers that is to the rest of the world. When I go to other churches and I tell them people move their lives, they think that we have like 35 staff members at the church. And I'm like, no, people move. They got new jobs. They sold houses. They moved into apartments. They have moved their lives to Raleigh-Durham, and it is absolutely crazy to the world, but we understand it because we're all on this same mission. We saw 6 people turn into 35 that moved. That has turned in the last 2 months to, if you average our last month's attendance, over 80 adults gathering in this group. Over 10 kids gathering every single week with us. When we really are not trying at all, and that's the truth over this summer. We have been trying to pour into our people and trying to pour into getting ready, and God continues to bless us. Over 70 people have walked through the doors of Mercy Hill Church in the last 2 months for the very first time, and they weren't connected to anybody else. They have walked in, and they weren't connected to anybody. They were connected to us. They were connected to you guys here, and they have walked in the doors for the very first time. Couldn't even find out where our services were on the internet, and they got here. That is God's blessing. It is his grace. It has nothing to do with us. It is all about what he is doing. In the launch process, we saw 3 people get saved. We saw 3 people come to Christ, and we are praying that we will see the floodgates open on that this fall. God has taken us, as I already said, from $0 in a bank account to, in less than a year, fully funded for our first year. We have seen this over and over again. We have seen $15,000 come in when a bunch of us sent a bunch of letters to friends and family. Every advisor I said, don't do it. It will be a waste of time. You will get less than $1,500 if everybody on your team sends letters out. We did that, and because you bought into the vision, our friends and family collectively sent us that type of money. I had a guy call me one day that heard me preach at a church in Winston-Salem. Just called me out of the blue one day, and he said, hey man, where are you at in your goal? I said, we are $30,000 off of year one. He said, I'm going to write you a check for half of that today. Why? I just believe in what you're doing. I believe God is kind of moving us in that direction. Got his wife on the phone. They just said, we believe in what you're doing. Believe what God is doing here. Are you kidding me? Is that anything to do with us? Absolutely not. It is God's grace to us. Like you said, the Ridge Church comes in. All these things happen. But the overwhelming majority is that you guys, all of us, have bought into this mission enough to tithe. And we have seen God blow the gates off of everything that we thought we would already be at financially where we are. We have seen 8 strategic partnerships with congregations all around the Southeast coming on board with us. Churches of weight, churches of even some notoriety. I don't know if that's the right thing to say, but churches that have been doing things well and God has been blessing them, and they're a reason that God has blessed them because they've done things well, and they have come on board with us, and they have said, we believe in what you are doing. God has been faithful to us in that. We have seen the transition from the folks that have come in from the congregation of the Ridge to Mercy Hill Church go about as well well as I think it could have ever gone in a million years. I think it is something that we could honestly write a book about, and that's not a joke. Often people have asked me why we came to Greensboro, and for so much of my time in my life, I have been able to give them pat answers about statistics and about things about religion, pretty much things that are true of any city in the entire country, and especially the Southeast. Oftentimes now, when people ask me, why did you come to the Ridge, or why did you come to Greensboro, I say, I think God had something here for us that he might have started in this other congregation a decade ago. And I think that's the truth. God is blessing. 65 people connected to community groups. Almost every single person in this room has landed a job from Raleigh to here. What a miracle that is. Creating love in our hearts for Greensboro. That is certainly true for me. I have prayed for that and God has blessed. Folks who haven't been connected to church in a while, getting connected to our church over the last few months, over this summer, while we've been just doing lunch gatherings. It's been great. That's what we've seen God do. Now, how do we think about our story and how do we think about what we have seen God do, celebrate him, praise him for his grace? How do we do that and then transition to a thought to say, what is it that God could do with Mercy Hill Church? What could he do with us this fall? What could he do with us in the very first year of our existence as a church all together? I don't know, but I have a couple scriptures I want to read to you guys, all right? The first one is this. It comes out of Matthew chapter 16, verses 17 through 19. Jesus answered and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed these things to you, but the Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Revelation 5, verse 8. "And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and tongue and language and people and nation. And you have made them made a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.'" We go from our story to seeing what God has done, and then I skip what God's going to do with us because I can't promise that. What I promise is what he's going to do. I know what he's going to do. God is going to build his church. That is our God. God will build his church, and it won't just be us in Greensboro, and it won't just be us in North Carolina. It will be a people from every tribe and tongue and nation on this planet. And he will mold them into a people. This is the story of Genesis. It is the promise since the beginning. God will reverse the fallen condition of this world. This is the Bible. We see it manifest all the way through, and it leads into a crown jewel of Jesus Christ, that God would crush his only son in order that he might crush sin and death, that he might take the cross of Jesus Christ and not only nail his son to it, but nail to it the sin of the world, thereby giving the people of the world an opportunity to turn to God and to trust him for life. This is the God that we serve. Jesus has purchased a people with his very blood. They are the bride, and he will have them. And this is something that he has started, not for our sake, but for his sake. And what he has started, he will bring to completion. That is our God. That is what he is going to do. Is he going to do that through Mercy Hill Church? I know he's going to do that through the church, big C, the church at large. That is what he is doing. Is he going to do that through Mercy Hill Church? I don't know. I don't have a promise, but here's what I know. I know that if I think about our story and I line that up with what I see in God's character, and what I see him doing in the world, and what I see where he is taking us as a people, I have every reason to assume that he is eagerly waiting on us to ask him for this city. That he is eagerly waiting us to ask for big dreams and big things that he would bless. I have every reason to assume, wouldn't we assume, that God would bless us as a good father, as a loving father who wants to build his church, who wants to see the brokenness in Greensboro changed, who wants to see the religiousness changed. Wouldn't we believe that this God, wouldn't we assume, wouldn't we take a dare on him? Wouldn't we think that he is a God who would move for us? I don't have a promise. Wouldn't we think that he would be a God who would move for us? Joshua didn't have a promise that the sun was going to stand still. He saw his situation, and he saw who God was, and he said, "I'm going to take a dare." Jonathan had no promise that he could stand with one sword and a sword bearer and defeat an entire garrison of the Philistine army. No promise. Could have died in the sand. But he sees the situation. He knows who God is. And he says, I will take a dare on you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have no promise that they will walk out of the burning fiery furnace. They see a situation. They understand the character of their God. And they say, I will take a dare. They looked at the world, they see that it lines up with God's intentions, and they jumped. That's where we got to be. That's where I hope to be personally. I hope that that is where I will be, and therefore I will be able to lead you. I hope that is where Bobby will be, and that is where we will be able to lead you and the other elders of this church as we continue to grow. I hope that we will be a people who assume God's goodness and presume upon it. Pray prayers that people would almost want to rebuke us for, because of how much we assume that God will give them to us, because he is a good and loving father. I see what God has done for us, and I know his character because I see it in the scripture, and that's what makes me think that I just might be right in believing a bunch of things, believing that we are going to see folks get saved this fall, and that we are going to have baptism services every single month from September all the way through the end of the year. I see our story, I see our situation, I know God's promises, I know his intentions for us, and it makes me think, you know what, I believe that our small groups are going to multiply. I am believing God that we will be at 7 or 8 small groups by the end of this year. I think about how we want to be at 35 functioning small groups in 5 years. We need to get a good jump on that. I see that God might do this for us. I believe that people won't just want to hang around Mercy Hill Church, but they will want to covenant with us, and that our membership, not just our attendance, will begin to boom. I'm believing God that he will raise up leaders that we haven't even met yet to be the ones who will lead ministries and lead volunteer teams and even be elders at this church over time. I'm believing God that he will continue to grow our kids ministry like crazy, and that tons of those baptisms that we will see over the next few years will be coming out of our children's ministry as these kids are starting a path in faith that they will walk hopefully for the rest of their lives. I am believing that God will direct us and our hands to the places in this city that are broken, that he would have us here to shine a light into. And I'm praying that God will direct us and direct our hands to the places in the world that we ought to, as a congregation, be involved in. And I'm praying that we will see the beginnings of church planting teams already forming as our small groups are planted, and that God will continue to show us where we ought to be in this world as we engage the nations. Salvation, sending, planting. All of these things are things that I hope that we are believing God for, because I think it is in line with his character. I think that's who he is. I think that he would do these things for us if we would ask and presume upon him to do them. I think about a story that our pastor told us from when he was at the Summit Church. He's still at the Summit Church. But when the Summit was younger, and they weren't as big, and there wasn't tons of stuff happening and all this stuff at the Summit in Raleigh-Durham, the church that we came out of. Our pastor told this story of one time he was out praying and kind of prayer walking and this kind of thing, and he was praying big things from God, just like this. Big things. God, bless our small groups. Raise people up in our church that we might be able to plant churches. I mean, just praying all these things. And he began to feel the Spirit kind of leading him to start praying, not just for the Summit, but really for a revival to sweep through Raleigh-Durham. And he just started to pray that God would do something that people would think about for generations, that it would be a true revival to happen in the Raleigh-Durham area of North Carolina. And he was praying fervently, and he was just really getting into it and all this kind of stuff. And he felt like God spoke to him, to his heart, and said, JD, what if I did these things, but I didn't use the Summit Church to do it? Do you still want them to happen? And it was a real gut check moment for our pastor, because at that point in his ministry, he said, I don't know. I feel like it's almost my kingdom come and thy kingdom come have kind of started to overlap each other. And he kind of told that story to get us on the right track, to be thinking about the kingdom at large and not just our church. And I get that. And I hope that I'll be a pastor that doesn't make it about Mercy Hill, but makes it about the kingdom. But as I listen to that story, I still want to tweak his story a little bit. Because what I want to say is, I want to be in a place where it is all about the kingdom. That doesn't mean that I don't want to see it. That doesn't mean that I don't want it to happen here. It's not that I don't want it to happen if it doesn't happen here, but boy, do I want it to happen here, because I want to be right in the middle of it. Who among us doesn't? Who doesn't want to be right in the middle of this stream of God moving us? God, I want to see your goodness in the land of the living. That's what the psalmist says. I want to see it here. And I believe that God would have us pray big prayers and dream big things, all right? So this is kind of what we're going to do. Last week, before we launch Mercy Hill Church, I hope that we're a church that's founded on prayer. We're going to spend a little bit of time praying. And we're going to pray for some of the things that I've kind of spoken over, and we're going to pray specifically for these things that we are trusting God for. And I'm going to kind of voice a prayer over that. And at the end of that time, we're just going to kind of spend some time celebrating together all of these things that we have seen God do. And we'll celebrate together, and we should have a good time tonight. But let's take just a couple minutes. What I would love to do is for everyone in the room maybe to just bow their heads for just 1 minute here tonight. And it really is just going to be kind of a prayer time that I would like to lead us through, just thinking about these things. But the way that I would like to start it off tonight is by just asking you, what are the things and the dreams that God is putting in your heart for Mercy Hill Church? I have mentioned a bunch of things, and maybe these are the things that come into your mind and come into your radar. Maybe your dream is to lead a functioning and thriving and planting small group here in Greensboro. Maybe your dream is to lead a coworker to Christ. Maybe your dream is to see some age-based ministry really rise up here at our church. I don't know what the dream that you would have for Mercy Hill Church is, but whatever it is, would you just believe God for it? Let's just take a minute together and just pray. Thank God for what he's done, but really believe God. Tell him that you know he is capable and you know that he is able to do the things that are in your heart that maybe he is burdening you with, the dreams that you have for Mercy Hill. Just do that for just a minute here tonight. All right, guys, I'm just going to look back over this list that I had, and I'm just going to pray a prayer to God over these things that we are believing him for. And I just pray that you would, I just ask that you would really pray with me. Don't listen to a prayer, but pray. Believe God for these things. Honestly, think of him as a good and loving father who would do these things for us if we would ask him, because they're in line with his character, right? Father God, tonight we are believing you and praying that we will see baptisms happen in Greensboro. God, because people are getting saved, God, and people are coming to a right understanding and knowledge of you. Father, we pray that as people are coming to Christ, God, that you would move them into community groups. God, we believe that discipleship happens in community, and we are praying big things for this fall and for this year. God, that you would multiply the groups that we have, making true discipleship possible at Mercy Hill Church. Father, I pray that people wouldn't just want to hang around what we are doing. God, but they would be drawn to a decision. God, they would want to jump in or jump out. Father, I pray that they would want to jump in with the mission that you have given us here at Mercy Hill Church to reach this city and to reach people with the gospel. Father, I pray that you would truly and honestly raise up leaders that we do not even know. God, I pray that you would raise people up from within this congregation that we may not have even met yet, that didn't make a move from Raleigh-Durham. God, that weren't part of a congregation that came into ours. God, but were a people who were lost that hear the gospel at Mercy Hill Church or from one of the people from Mercy Hill Church, get saved, are discipled, God, and raise up to be leaders in the church, maybe even sent out from here. God, would you do that? Father, I pray that our kids' ministry would grow like crazy. Father, I pray that we would be able to teach the gospel to these kids from a very, very young age. God, I pray that we would hold that as a high God, just as a high priority in our lives. God, keep that ever before our elder team. Father, I pray that you would direct and allow our hands to be involved with the brokenness of this city, God, and really the brokenness of this world. Father, direct us to the places that you would have us to be in terms of international outreach and international missions and church planting. Father, we are believing you for these things, for salvation, for sending, for planting. They are all things that you can do. We cannot do them. Father, we will work as hard as we can, God, but we need you to bless us. And Father, I pray that you would do that, not just tonight, God, not just throughout this fall, but for the years to come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.